Hi, I'm Neil Cicerega, and due to a bizarre set of circumstances, I have a creative career. When people ask me what I do, I stutter a lot, and I'm like, I'm an artist, or sometimes I say I'm a comedian, or a musician, or a filmmaker, but none of those words properly conveys the fact that I spend pretty much all day on a computer, like just making images and videos and music to amuse myself. But since I have a giant screen, I can actually show you a few things that I have made that might convey that. I made an album of Smash Mouth-centric mashups called Mouth Sounds. And it's Smash Mouth-free follow-up, Mouth Silence. I made a whole bunch of albums as Lemon Demon with a hit 2005 Flash animation called The Ultimate Showdown of Ultimate Destiny. I made a horror blog called Windows 95 Tips, Tricks, and Tweaks. I made a comic called Ariel Needs Legs. I made a very popular video series called Potter Puppet Pals. And some less popular videos like It's the World Wide Web, Bustin', Mouth, and Brody Quest. But it's okay if you don't recognize any of this stuff because whatever, it's weird. But on our modern monetized internet, there's nothing too unusual about having the vague job description of content creator. But for me, I've actually been locked into this weird role for over 15 years since I was an actual child, a time before content. Luckily, for this presentation, I happen to have uninterrupted backups of every hard drive that I've ever owned since 1995. Yeah. Never throw anything away. So this talk is going to be sort of a period piece. I'm going to talk about the before times. And I'm going to use just all this material that I still have kicking around and screen caps from the Wayback Machine on archive.org. And I'm going to take you through it. So gather around. OK, thank you. And this is How to Be an Internet Explorer with Neil Cicerega. So I can't remember having fewer than two computers in my house. It was the early 90s, and I loved normal kid stuff like drawing and reading and watching cartoons, but I was really weirdly captivated by computers. Even if it was just like a business computer with no games on it, I would load up applications and just like figure out what they did. And I'd like open up the MS-DOS text editor, and I'd hold down Alt and type in random numbers just to see the weird symbols that would come out of this machine. So to me, as like a little tiny kid, even before there was internet, the computer was like a glowing box of secrets. And my dad has been a programmer since the mid-80s, so he made internal use software for companies like databases and point-of-sale systems. So there were always these computers in my house, and he was always fixing customers' computers, and I just have all these memories of amber monochrome displays and dot matrix printers and those chunky 90s laptops with the LCD screens that you're not supposed to poke, but you poke anyway because it makes a rainbow. Now, still in the 90s here, in second grade, Goosebumps was huge with me and my schoolmates. Yeah, give it up for Mr. R.L. Stein. And the thing about these books was, you know, they weren't good, but they were they were just exciting to collect and like anticipate next month's book. And every book had a preview at the back that would spoil like a little bit, like what's the next book's title, what's the first chapter. And everybody would be like, oh yeah, I'm ready for that one. Well, one of my dad's clients was a local bookstore, which meant he had this entire ISBN database on his computer. So I was like, Dad, can I use the ISBN database? And he's like, sure, son. So I typed in R.L. Stein, and it happened to list not only the next month's book, but the month after and the month after, because this guy just cranked these books out, and he had them lined up. So I brought this secret knowledge to school, And I don't remember if anyone actually thought I was cool, but I felt really cool. because it was like magic. I used a computer to learn things no one else knew. Now, around this time, my parents noticed how into computers I was, and they got me something called Click and Play, which was a game creation suite. And it didn't involve any real coding, so it was easy enough for kids to learn, but it was actually pretty flexible if you were clever. And this software, as you can see, came out in 1994, but it actually has had a continuous stream of like sequels and spin-offs, and it still exists as Fusion, which was used for like Five Nights at Freddy's. So suddenly, I could make interactive multimedia, and this was like a lot of things to take in for a kid, because not only you could make your own graphics, which I did poorly, but it came with lots of stock sprites and sound effects and weird example games to learn from. So I was just in hog heaven, and this was just something I could do all day. So I started making all these little games, or trying to anyway. I never really finished any of them, but it was just the first thing I would do after school. I'd just go home and like sink all my time into kind of making games. And then in the mid-90s, two things happened. One, my family got online, Prodigy first, and then AOL later, America Online. And I found out that there was a Click and Play community, and I could download other people's games and potentially upload my games instead of just making them for myself. So I was like, okay, I got that. But then something else happened that doesn't happen to most kids. After fourth grade, my parents decided to homeschool me and my brother and my little sister. Not for religious reasons and not because we were like having trouble in school or anything, but because, I don't know. I think my parents just wanted to try something different, and my mom claims that she missed us during the day. But I know the real reason. Who else was famously homeschooled in 1997? My parents wanted that Mbop money. So, this next part is gonna sound iffier still. See, I didn't mind being taken out of school, because as it turned out, homeschooling in my house did not mean being tutored regularly, didn't mean having a curriculum to follow. It meant one test a year to prove to the state that we weren't, like, being taught nothing. And that test only really took a week or two to prep. So, I mean, to be fair, my parents did, for a little while, make me play Jumpstart Fifth Grade. But for the most part, they just year-round encouraged me to teach myself whatever I wanted to learn, as long as I was learning something. So I wasted a lot of time making hundreds of awful games that never went anywhere. I spent hours and hours every day making title screens, cutscenes, maybe the first level. I really wanted to learn 3D, so my wonderful supportive parents got me some 3D software, and I kind of learned that. But I continued trying for years, and I wanted to make puzzle games and action games. That one was actually kind of good. But I most dearly, in my heart of hearts, wanted to make adventure games in the style of LucasArts. But I never had the follow-through to make the kind of games that I wanted to make, although I did learn some skills in the process of kind of making games. See, my dad, I keep mentioning my dad, but he was just a big nerd like me, and he was also a good guitarist, and he always kept MIDI keyboards and musical software in our house. So it was just around, and I really loved the idea of my games, my awesome games that'll totally come out, having custom soundtracks, because everyone else's games just used like the Final Fantasy MIDI files and stuff, and I was like, no, this is all original content coming from me. So I used this program called Cakewalk, and I learned how to make MIDI files for my hypothetical games, and I was about 10, and my song sounded like this. I did get better. But it turned out that I loved making music, and it was more instantly achievable than making an entire game. So I just made tons and tons and tons of MIDI files, and I started to think, well, why can't I put my music out there for people the way people put their games out there? But MIDI files did not have a big listener community. But luckily, the new millennium was coming. MIDI files were becoming a thing of the past, and a new format arose. Originally developed by the US military for use in Desert Storm. MP3s, they were just there, and I kind of. I transitioned from MIDI to MP3 by kind of making MIDI files and then adding bad techno drums to them. And I discovered, somehow I discovered a website called mp3.com. And this website was so high tech, you could upload your 128 kilobytes per second MP3s and put them on a profile and people could listen to them all they wanted. And you didn't have to worry about like the server crashing. And not only that, but they'd take your songs, I mean, you'd give them permission, but they'd take your songs and they would burn these custom CDs with artwork and they'd sell them to your fans if they bought them. So, like, this was like Bandcamp, basically. I don't know. So anyway, I picked the name Trapezoid because it was my favorite shape. And I have the distinct memory of like kindergarten and someone was playing with the blocks and someone was like, hey, this is a square, this is a circle, this is a trapezoid. I'm like, that's not a shape. So anyway, I made 3 albums of hyperkinetic synth instrumental music, and I don't think anybody bought any, but I didn't care because I was a kid and I didn't have to go to school and I could just make my beep boop music all day. Here's the serious part. It wasn't all great. I was missing out on middle school. I didn't have a lot of social outlets. But it was the turn of the millennium and online communities were kind of exploding. So I was posting a lot on forums and news groups and IRC chat rooms. And I had a chance to talk to other people who were fans of the things that I was fans of and to link people to my music. And I was part of a forum for LucasArts fans, obviously. And I'd like make remixes of the music from those games and I'd post them so that it would be relevant to the forum, and people would say nice, encouraging things, and that was kind of it for my social life. So around this time, there was also a multimedia flash was becoming a huge deal, and you could use it to make incredible interactive websites, and I didn't make that one, but you could also use it to make like silly animations that could be watched directly in browser, and this sounded really good to me, so I pirated a copy of Flash. It's 15 years ago, I don't care. And I like messed around with it for a year, but I was not a talented animator at all, and I couldn't come up with anything worthwhile. Until inspiration struck. I had a friend named Jules. He was really into Japan. Everybody knows a Jules. But one day he brought over this CD that he bought at a mall kiosk, and the songs on it were from the Japanese version of Pokemon. And there were these amazing, weird, hilarious songs, and I was not into nu metal like everyone else. I was into this kind of music, and it was so like funny, and the voices were like all over the place. And we would just listen to these songs and we wouldn't know what was being said in them, so we'd make up our own interpretations and in-jokes. So I took it, I ripped the MP3s, and I loaded them into Flash because I wanted to capture the nonsensical fun that they had inspired in me and my friend. And I was a terrible animator, so I just picked various images that I had saved on my computer, and I kind of made them dance around. And it took an entire 2 days to make 2 videos. And the first one I called the Japanese Poker App. And the other kept its original title, Hyakugo Juichi.
Yeah. まだまだたくさん必ずどこかに仲間はいるはず。
I know, right? So I put them up on a website and dubbed them Animutations. I didn't know about Newgrounds yet. So I only posted them to maybe like one forum. And I went back to making music and games. Now, over the next month or so, Hyakugo Juichi got linked somewhere, maybe Metafilter or Fark.com. And suddenly, it took off, and I was getting thousands of hits a day. And my website crashed, and I had to find new hosting, and I started getting like emails and calls from news reporters. Because in 2001, this was newsworthy. They always made a note of my age. That became the part, like a part of the mystique of the videos. When people would link them, they'd be like, have you seen this crazy animutation? A 14-year-old kid made it. Definitely watch it. So I figured, okay, I better start making more of these before I'm too old for it to be cute anymore. So I made about 20, and they became increasingly complex and chaotic, and I would just like dig up all these weird songs, whether they were Japanese or English or German, and each featured like a cast of characters pulled from pop culture or any interesting image that I came across in my everyday internet surfing. And because it was an easy style to imitate, fans started finding their own songs and making their own videos, and we called them Fanimutations. And there were hundreds of them, some by actually good animators. And there was an email discussion list and an IRC chat room for animutations and became its own subcategory on Newgrounds. And this whole movement kind of lasted from like 2001 to 2004 when like real video started to become like a replacement for Flash. But like that's a pretty good run. And for an adolescent, making something that is not only enjoyed by others, but inspires them to create their own artwork was like, I don't know what the right word is for it, but it like really impressed on me. And I didn't have any schoolwork or a job to focus on. I didn't have college plans, so this became what I did. So it's now 2016. And I don't make Flash animations anymore. But I do still make all sorts of silly videos, and I still make music, and for the first time since the early 2000s, I am working on a game again, and hopefully I'll finish this one. But it's really strange to realize that I have 2 decades of creative output, and it's mostly still online, whether it's good or cringeworthy or what. And it's really strange to think that kids today are practically born straight into this recording device that is the internet. And they're discovering their creativity and putting it out there, and it might never go away. But I think that's fine. I like that. I hope children become, or continue to become, continue to be an important voice on the internet, because that kind of twitchy humor and DIY ethic that children have is like the lifeblood of internet humor. And that's why I think it's important to be nostalgic as much as you can and stay in touch with who you were as a kid and keep all your old files. Because you wanna keep those synapses alive so that it's easier for you to remember that feeling that everything is hilarious and wonderful and new. So thank you.